بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, which is a continuation of reading from this book, Ma'alim fi tariqi talab al-ilm, Milestones in the Path to Seeking Knowledge, and it was authored by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Sadhan, Jazahullah Khair. And in this book, he talks about the etiquettes of seeking knowledge and the avenues of seeking knowledge and how a person should seek knowledge. And in this lesson, we come to Talibul Ilmi Ma'a Nafsihi. How should a student of knowledge behave with regards to himself? A student of knowledge, he becomes known for teaching other people, benefiting other people, interacting with other people. But how should a student of knowledge interact with his own self? And from those matters which are most beneficial to a person is al-muhasabah. And the meaning of al-muhasabah is for a person to hold his self or herself to account. Al-muhasabah meaning that a person sets out some time and he or she holds himself to account. That what have I done in the past week? What have I achieved in the past month? What have I achieved in the past year? Today, how many good deeds did I do and how many bad deeds did I do? And also that a person, he doesn't make excuses for himself in order to excuse his own sins and shortcomings. So instead of a person holding himself to account because of his sins, instead of that he makes excuses for himself. That this sin, it wasn't a problem because there was this necessity upon me. And although I didn't do many good deeds, but I was busy with this. So making these flimsy excuses for herself is what makes a person deluded with the state in which he is in. And in the worst case scenario, maybe a person will start justifying the misguidance he is upon, or the innovations which he has committed, or the sins which he is doing. And for a person to sin and know he is sinning, this is much less severe than a person who sins and then justifies the sins to himself. And this is the difference between the disease of shahawat and the disease of ashubuhat. So every person, every heart, it is open to these two diseases, marḍ ash-shubuhāt and marḍ ash-shahawāt, the disease of misguiding doubts, that's shubuhat, and shahawat are the disease of desires. And the difference between shubuhat and shahawat is the shubha, it is a doubt such that the thing which you are doing, you justify it to be correct. So the people of innovation, they are afflicted with shubuhat, with doubts, which justify their innovation to them. They justify their deviations. So they do an action, they do an act of bid'ah, they do an act of shirk, and then they justify this bid'ah to themselves. We are only doing this because we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though it is an act of innovation. As for the shahawat, then they are sins which a person falls into because of his or her desires, but he knows and he recognizes that it is a sin. He knows and he recognizes that it is a sin. So what is the difference between, for example, a person who listens to music and a person who commits acts of shirk? What is the difference? That a person who is committing acts of shirk, in his mind, he has justified this act of shirk. He thinks that this shirk, it is ibadah. He thinks that this shirk, this is how you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thinks that this shirk, it is loving the awliya and the saliheen. As for the person who listens to the music, he knows it's haram, he knows it's a sin, but he still falls into it. And which is more severe? The shubhat are more severe than the shahawat. The doubts are more severe than the following the desires. Why? Because the person who follows the doubts, he thinks that what he is doing is correct. And the person who has fallen into sins of desire, at the least he knows and he recognizes that it is haram which I am doing. And for this reason, a person who falls into these desires, because he knows that they are wrong, somewhere down the line, bi-idhnillah, he will make tawbah. So he listens to music, and then somewhere down the line, he realizes, oh Allah, I made a mistake, I sinned, I listened to music, please forgive me. As for the person who falls into shubahat, because he thinks it is correct, and because he justifies it in his mind, then he will not make tawbah. Why should he make tawbah? Is he doing anything wrong in his own mind to make tawbah? And for this reason, the Salaf, they used to say, La tawbah lil mubtadi'. There's no tawbah for an innovator. Because the innovator, the mubtadi', he believes that the innovation he is doing, it is correct. So how is he going to make tawbah? Why should he make tawbah from something which he believes it is an act of worship? But the person who sins and knows it is a sin, he will make a tawbah. The point is that from the things which lead a Muslim to be successful and succeed in the Akhirah is for a person to make muhasabah of his own self. That he or she hold his own self to account and looks at his day or his week or his month and thinks, what have I achieved today? What good deeds have I done for the Akhirah, and what things did I do only for the dunya? And a person should stay away from making these excuses or justifying the sins and the deviation that a person is in. And some of the Salaf, they would say, as Al-Dhahabi mentions, that they would say, لَا يَكُونُ الرَّجُلُ تَقِيًّا. A person can never be a person of taqwa حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ مِنْ أَيْنَ مَلْبَسَهُ وَمَطْعَمَهُ وَمَشْرَبَهُ, until he knows where has his clothing come from, where has his food come from, and where has his drink come from. A person can never be a person of taqwa, a person of piety, until he holds himself to account. That this food, this clothing which I am wearing, where has this clothing come from? Has it come from halal or has it come from haram? This food I am eating, where did this food come from? Did I earn it in halal or did I earn it in haram? And like this with drinking as well. And that which helps a person make muhasabah, hold their own selves to account, is to choose an appropriate time in the day in which you are going to be alone, even if it's only 15 minutes. Even if it's only 15 minutes, and you use these 15 minutes in which you are alone and you make muhasabah. You hold yourself to account. And this could be, for example, 15 minutes before sleeping. It could be, for example, that a person says, every day after Isha, I'm going to walk home, and in that 15 minutes of walking, I'm just going to contemplate and hold myself to account. It could be, for example, for the mother or the sister whose child has gone to school, that on the way back from school, she uses that time to hold herself to account. What did I achieve yesterday? What are the things that I put forward for the Akhirah, and which things did I do which will destroy my Akhirah? And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, when he spoke about the things which save a person from the punishment in the grave. What are the things which saves a person from the punishment of the grave? He said in his book Ar-Ruh, he said, أَنْ يَجْلِسَ الرَّجُلُ عِنْدَمَا يُرِيدُ النَّوْمُ لِلَّهِ سَاعَةً. That a person, when he wants to go to sleep, he sits for a small amount of time just for the sake of Allah. Before going to sleep, before bed, this time, this 15 minutes, this half an hour, this hour, a person sits alone just for the sake of Allah. يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ. And in this hour before going to sleep, he holds himself to account. عَلَى مَا خَسِرَهُ وَرَبَحَهُ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ. And he thinks and he holds himself to account that what have I gained today and what have I lost today. ثُمَّ يُجَدِّدُ لَهُ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. And then he renews his tawbah with Allah. He renews his istighfar with Allah. After holding himself to account and contemplating what he has profited today for the akhirah and what he has lost today for the akhirah, then he makes tawbah to Allah. And then he said, وَيُفْعَلْ هَذَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةً. And this should be done every single night. Every single night, every single day, a person chooses for himself a time in the day or a time in the night when he or she is going to be alone. Because when a person is alone, then you can contemplate, then you can bring your feelings and your emotions together, and then you make muhasaba, and then you hold yourself to account. And the Salaf alayhim ridwanullah, they were known for al-muhasaba. And Ata ibn Abi Rabah, he would say to his companions, he would say, إِنَّ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَعُدُّونَ فُضُولَ الْكَلَامِ. That those scholars who came before you, they used to consider the following things as being فُضُول الْكَلَامِ, i.e. speech of no benefit. They should think about their day, and they should think that today, what have I spoken about? And certain things, they would hold it to be فُضُول الْكَلَامِ, i.e. speech without benefit. He said, مَا عَدَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, everything besides reciting the book of Allah, وَأَمْرٍ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, and ordering with goodness, وَنَحْيٍ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ, and forbidding from evil, أَوْ أَنْ تَنْطِقَ فِي مَعِيشَتِكَ الَّتِي لَا بُدَّ لَكَ مِنْهَا, or saying that which you have to say because of your daily life. You have to go to the shop and buy something, you speak to your wife, you speak to your children, so on and so forth. Everything else besides this, they would say that it is wasted speech. And he would say, أَتُنْكِرُونَ أَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ حَافِذِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. He would say to his companions, do you deny that on your right and left shoulder there are angels who are writing everything which you say? And عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشَّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ, and they sit on your right and they sit on your left. And do you deny مَا يُلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Do you deny that every single thing, every single word that you utter, it is being recorded against you? And then he would say to them, أَمَا يَسْتَحِي أَحَدُكُمْ, that is one of you not embarrassed and shamed? لَوْ نُشِرَتْ صَحِيفَتُهُ, that when his scroll and his record of deeds is spread, لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ, that it contains nothing about the akhirah. Meaning, is none of us embarrassed and ashamed that we know that there are angels writing, and we know that there are angels sitting on the left, the right and the left, and we know that every single word that we utter, then it is recorded? And are we not ashamed and embarrassed that we know that on the day of resurrection, our sahifa, our record and our scroll of good deeds and bad deeds, it will be laid out for us? And yet a whole day passes by and nothing is written on this record that you did in this day for the akhirah. So the point is that the Salaf, this is how they were. Every single day they would consider, today, what has gone in my record, my sahifa in the akhirah. Today, did I do actions for the akhirah, or did I only do actions for the dunya? Today, they would hold themselves to account. My speech, how much of it was wasted speech, and how much of it was speech which benefits the akhirah from reciting the book of Allah and al-amru bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, and that which a person requires to live in this world. And there is also something else, another avenue which we have to be wary of, which a person should hold himself to account, and that is, and we mentioned this previously, at-tazkiyah wal-madh, when other people praise you or say something good about you. And this praise of people for you, it is something which can be good, or it is something which can be evil. And often shaitan will come and he deceives the people because of other people praising and saying good about that person. And the ulama, they say, Al-aqilu man arafa nafsahu. The intelligent person, he is the one who knows his own self. وَلَا يَغُرُّهُ مَدْحُ مَنْ لَا يَخْبُرُهَا. And the intelligent person is the one who is not deceived by the praise of other people who do not know him. The intelligent person, he is the one who knows his own strengths and knows his own weaknesses. The intelligent person isn't the one who is deceived by other people mentioning his strengths. Because you have to remember that when you are in the masjid, when you are outside, people only see a side of you. They only see your good points. They only see you in the prayer. They only see you making dhikr. But you know about yourself the other side and the sins which you have. So the intelligent person is the one who knows the reality of his own self. And he knows his strengths bifadlillah, and he also knows his weaknesses. And don't be like the foolish who are deceived by people praising only their strength, because that's the only thing which they see. And people and the praise of people towards you, as I mentioned, it can be something good or it can be something evil. And it is good or evil depending on whether this praise of people, it increases you in your righteous deeds, and therefore it is good. And if it prevents you from doing righteous deeds, then it becomes evil. So if a person is praised by other people, somebody comes to you and mentions something good about you, and because of this praise, you show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that this praise and this good thing which you have in you, it is because of the virtue of Allah. And then this increases you in your worship of Allah. You want to do more and more because it is gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then this praise, it is something of goodness to you, and it is a glad tiding to you. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said, رَجُلٌ يَعْمَلُ عَمَلًا حَسَنًا. A man, he does a righteous deed. فَيَرَاهُ النَّاسِ. And the people, they see him doing this righteous deed. فَيَحْمَدُونَهُ. And so they praise him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تِلْكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That this praise, it is the glad tiding for a believer which has been brought forward. Meaning that this good deed which you are doing, the reward of this good deed, it is in the akhirah. And when the people saw this good deed which you were doing and they started praising you and mentioning good things about you and making dua for you and they had a good opinion of you, although the reward is the reward of the akhirah, but Allah brings some of this reward forward to this dunya. And this praising of the people for you, and these people mentioning good about you, having a good opinion about you, making dua for you, this is some of the reward of the akhirah, and it has been brought forward to the dunya. But only for the person who did the action sincerely for the sake of Allah is upon Tawheed, and then he doesn't become deceived by the praise of the people. Rather, even when people praise him, it causes him to humble himself even more. وَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ. And whoever humbles himself in front of Allah, Allah raises him. And this praise of the people and this dua of the people towards him, it leads him to increasing in the righteous actions he or she is doing. And therefore this praise, it is something which is good. However, the praise of the people can also be from the plots of a shaitan. And it can be detrimental for a person. And this is when it causes a person to become deceived by himself or to stop doing acts of righteousness. So when a person is praised and then he becomes arrogant, he starts belittling other people, he has pride and haughtiness over other people, this feeling, it then prevents him from accepting nasiha from the people. So a person, before he sought knowledge, if somebody came to him and said to him, Akhi fillah, you made a mistake in this, you recited the Quran wrong in this, this ayah you forgot, he would accept the advice of the people. But then when he started seeking knowledge and started teaching the people and people started praising him, if he's advised again that you prayed wrong or you missed an ayah or you made a mistake, now he finds in himself al-ujab. He finds in himself self-amazement. That me, how can I make a mistake? And who are you to advise me? Don't you know that I have studied and studied and studied? I'm my teacher, Sheikh Fulan and Fulan. And who are you? You can't speak Arabic. You haven't memorized anything. So this now is the plot of Shaitan against him. And that praise that the people praised him, it led to him being deceived by his own self. And how beautiful is the example of the best of mankind, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after the prophets and the messengers. And how he would save himself from the praise of the people. And of course, after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's nobody more virtuous than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the hadith had already been revealed that he is guaranteed his place in Jannah. So you can imagine people coming to him and praising him. And yet when somebody praised him to his face, he would say, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. Oh Allah, you are more knowing of me than even my own self. Oh Allah, anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. Oh Allah, you are more knowing of me, of that which is within myself, than even myself. Wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi minhum. And I am more knowing of myself than those people who are praising me. Oh Allah, you know me more than I know myself. And I know myself more than those people who are praising me. Faj'alni khayrun mimma yahsabun. So make me better than what they think I am. وَلَا تُآخِذْنِي بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And do not hold me accountable for that which they say in my praises. وَغْفِرْ لِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And forgive me from your mercy about those things which they do not know. Because as I mentioned, those people, they only praise a person based on the goodness that they see. And they don't realize the sins that you have if they are praising you. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would say, the basic meaning is, he would say, Oh Allah, make me better than what they say I am and what they think I am, and forgive me for those things which they do not know. So even if a person, he was only to memorize, Allahumma ja'alni khayrun mimma yahsabun. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. And forgive me in that which they do not know. Then in this would be much goodness, in that it would keep a person humble and submissive to Allah Jalla fil ula. And also from the avenues which helps a person remain humble and always hold himself to account is to take an admonishment, take a lesson from the people who are around you. Take a lesson from those who are around you. Now we see around us people who are living and dying upon kufr. And every Muslim should see this as a lesson and an admonishment. That had Allah willed, He could have made me from the people of Al-Kufr. But rather Allah chose me and blessed me by giving me Islam. A person should hold himself to account every single day and see around him those people living on the streets, those people from amongst the Muslims who are addicted to drugs, those people are lost and deviated upon shirk and innovations, and they are drowning in their innovations. And instead of this causing a person to be arrogant and think he's better than the other people, but he takes it as a lesson and an admonishment how Allah saved him and He preferred him. And our Sharia and the Quran has come with this message over and over again. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us a dua for when you see a person who has been afflicted by a calamity. And this calamity, it could be, for example, an accident. You are going and you see an accident on the road. It could be a person who has an illness. It could be a person who has the calamity of shirk and deviation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when you see this person, you praise Allah. You say, Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma btalaka bih. O Allah, all praises for you. You have pardoned me from the calamity which has afflicted this person. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And all praises for Allah who has preferred me and made me more virtuous than many of the creation. So look how in this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's teaching us to look at other people and take a lesson and an admonishment and a sign from the other people. That when you see other people and they are less well off than you in their wealth or in their dunya and especially in their religion, then you return to Allah and you praise Allah and you thank Allah for the blessing which you are upon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also told us to take a lesson and an admonishment from the other people. He said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Look at the people who are lower than you, meaning less well off than you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. And do not always look at those people who are higher than you. Why? Because this will make you appreciative of the blessings of Allah. So instead of a person always saying, why don't I have like this person has? Why don't I live in the house that this person lives in? Why can I not have the car which that person is driving? Why don't I have the money which the other person has? Instead of always looking at the person who is better off than you, look at the person who is asfala minkum and say, oh Allah, all praises for you who gave me more money than this individual. Oh Allah, I thank you for giving me health which this person did not have. So however ill you are, then know that there are those people who are more ill than you. And however poor you are, know that there are those people who are even more severe in their poverty than you. And we hear every day, like we hear now, how our Muslim brothers and sisters in East Africa, in Somalia, in Sudan, in some of the other countries, how they are suffering from a severe drought. So when a Muslim hears of this, then he takes a lesson and an admonishment. First, he thanks Allah that Allah hasn't placed us in this drought where people are dying outside in the fields. And then this causes him to give in charity and help his Muslim brothers and sisters. Also in the Quran, Allah tells us and teaches us to take an admonishment from those who are around us, from the Yahud, the Nasara and the Kuffar. And he said regarding Ahlul Kitab in Surah Al-Hashr, he said, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That they, Ahlul Kitab, they thought that their forts and their castles, it would protect them from Allah. فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. So Allah came to them from ways which they never thought of. Those Yahud and Nasara, they used to think that our houses, our forts, our castles, which are protected and fortified with walls, that this will protect us from Allah. And Allah said, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. So Allah came to them and took them and punished them in ways which they did not think. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الرُّعْبِ. And Allah threw in their hearts, Allah placed in their hearts fear. Allah placed in their hearts fear. So much so, يُخْرِبُونَ بِيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. That Allah caused them to destroy their own houses and their own forts with their own hands. وَأَيْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And by the hands of the believers, their forts were destroyed. And then Allah said at the ending of this ayah, He said, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. So take a lesson, take an admonishment, O people of insight. So look how Allah Jalla fil Ula in this ayah, He tells about Ahlul Kitab al-Yahud wa al-Nasara and they're plotting against Allah, and how much jur'ah, how much audacity they had in front of Allah, and they would think that the houses which they are living in and the forts which they are living in, it would protect them from the punishment of Allah. And then Allah tells us how He punished them in ways which they did not imagine, and He placed fear in their hearts, so much so that their own hands destroyed their own houses, and the jihad of the believers destroyed their forts. And then Allah said, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. So take a lesson and take an admonishment from this, O people of insight. And consider how Allah Jalla fil Ula, He linked al-basira, a person being upon insight, to al-i'tibar, to a person taking lessons and taking an ibrah, an admonishment from the situation of those around them. So this is insight, that a person, he looks at those around him and he takes an admonishment and a lesson from this. And more than this, he takes an admonishment from his own history. So when a person was practicing bifadlillah and he was mustaqim, upright, and then for a while they left istiqamah, they left the religion of Allah, their iman became weak, they grew distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah has blessed this person, whether male or female, to then come back to the religion and find guidance, and iman increases. This person should take a lesson and an admonishment from the feeling of those days in which they were distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the loneliness and the cold that that person used to feel being distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers, we make i'tibar, we take ibrah, we take a lesson and an admonishment, firstly from our own selves. Like Allah said, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ آيَاتٍ. In your own selves, there are ayat, there are lessons and signs in your own selves. How Allah created you, those things which you go through. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ آيَاتٍ. In your own selves, there are ayat. And also, there are ayat and lessons in those who are around us. And also, from those matters which help a person to hold himself to account is seeking advice from other people. If you find a person who is truthful and sincere and he or she knows you well, because this person knows your strengths and knows your weaknesses. Your friend who is sincere and truthful and who is always with you, he or she knows your strengths and your weaknesses. If on top of that, this is a person of knowledge and a person of taqwa, then to seek their advice, then this is something which helps a person to make muhasabah, to hold their own self to account. And the Salaf, they would say, Rahimullahu abdan, may Allah have mercy upon a person, ahda ilayna uyubana, who gifts to us our own defects and shortcomings. May Allah have mercy upon a person who gives us the gift. And what is the gift? He highlights to us where our shortcomings and weaknesses are. Whereas nowadays, subhanAllah, if somebody comes to us and in a good way, with wisdom, points out a weakness in us or in our masjid due to nasiha and sincerity, straight away we turn to that person. Oh, how arrogant that person is. Fulan, he's mutashaddid. He's harsh. Why? Because he only pointed out a weakness out of sincere advice for you. And yet the Salaf, they should consider this as a hadiyah, as a gift that a person gave. At the end of the day, when somebody points out a weakness to you, who is the one who benefits? You are the one who benefit. And also, this is from the Sharia. Going to a person and asking for advice is from the Sharia. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ خَمْسِ. The rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim are five. And one of the five rights which he mentioned, he said, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَقَ فَانْصَحْ لَهُ. That when he comes to you to seek nasiha, to seek advice, then you advise him. So this issue of seeking advice and allowing people to point out your errors, of course, in wisdom, and not meaning to wanting to expose the people, then this is something which is from the Sharia. So to summarize, from those things which saves a person from the punishment of the grave, may Allah save us, is al-muhasaba, like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah said. And the meaning of al-muhasaba is a person holding himself to account. And as Ibn al-Qayyim said, that a person, he dedicates a few minutes in the day, even if it is only 15 minutes in the day, in which he is going to be alone. And in this time, he thinks that this day today, these past 24 hours, what have I benefited for my akhirah, and what have I harmed in my akhirah? So those things which he harmed his akhirah with, he seeks forgiveness and he makes tawbah. And those things which he benefited, he asks Allah to increase him. And those matters which help a person to make muhasabah is firstly sincere advice, sincere dua to Allah. Secondly, that when you are holding yourself to account, then do it in a time in which you are free from your mind being occupied with anything, and when you are alone. Thirdly, if somebody advises you, you accept this advice. Fourthly, seeking out the advice of people and seeking out the advice of those, the people of righteousness and the people of knowledge. And fifthly, not being deceived by the praise of people for you. Not being deceived by the praise of people for you. And finally, taking a lesson and an admonishment from your own past, your own mistakes, and the mistakes and the situation of those who are around you. Wallahu a'lam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan salihan wa rizqan tayyiba. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna 'ilma. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.